Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports, live from Las Vegas, March 16th. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Woo. Almost a third of the way through the year. Hosting along with myself, the man on his phone. Mr. Gary
White. I'm, yeah. Hey, yo, I'm bringing up On Wheels Now on my Facebook page. Like everybody else
should. You know, I always say man on a mission for a reason, because yeah. Gary's always, his mission is many.
It's hard for me to keep up with them all.
Some are mission impossible, some are not, but.
Nothing's mission impossible. We'll make it work, however.
Now we have two people listening.
Hey.
Yes.
Right.
You and me.
Yes.
All right. And myself.
Oh, yeah. No, you're just listening. You're not on Facebook.
Right. Hey, we don't care about that. We care about us right
That's
here.
That's right.
This is what it's about. It's about us. So, but yeah, you know, you're the mission. So.
Yes.
Glad to see
you. We will get it done.
You picked up my trailer.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I appreciate that. Even though, hey. We got to fix it every other week. Then I guess
no, you
we
mean every
do.
Other day.
Oh man! Of course.
I guess they knew Mike was coming in, and wow,
yeah, that's okay.
Huh?
It's okay. So you know,
that's okay.
You got to think of the things, the situation, you know, outside. It's
Cindy
nice.
Needs a day off once in a while.
That's right. So. Well, and you know, it's one of those things where if Cindy's not gonna be here, I don't blame them. You know,
yeah,
they're used to seeing you guys. That's okay.
Yes.
Of course, Matt Esposito
here.
What's happening, man?
Just here.
Yeah,
I pulled my back over the weekend, so.
Oh man.
Uh oh.
I'm sore.
What are you like?
Sure, glad you're just sitting in the chair and not doing nothing.
Doing backflips or what? What were you doing?
Practicing the Carl Edwards backflip
yeah,
off
there
the
go.
Side of the car.
He wishes.
I wish I could just get out of the car.
Well, sometimes, you know, it, when you get past a certain age, you could just, like, turn to get out of your chair wrong and you twist your back.
So, yeah, we have skid plates. Our door's still open.
They're right?
Yeah. That's how lazy we are.
We just make the pops, like the bandos or something.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Jump out of the top. No. But what's happening? Nothing busy? Pop, you know,
no, we're staying
busy. Backup. What'd you do?
I have no idea.
You just hurt.
Lifted one too many flowers.
Yep. That's the weekend he was off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Need some Bengay on it.
I got patches.
You got your patch. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he's got his lump ass patch. Cool. Oh, well, anyways. So you say that trailer is all messed up out
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah, it's all messed
not
up.
Not worth
it. No.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I can tell you it's not worth what he's going to put into it.
For sale. But that's almost like that one that was at the old shop area, huh? No, that one had an underneath.
Yeah, no, that was
different.
An 8-car,
yeah,
6-car.
Just a 3.
3.
Or four.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Pre-wedge trailer.
Oh, wow.
So speaking of man on a mission, what is your mission for next week?
To hang out.
Someone's going to Bristol.
That's right.
That's right.
I can't wait.
That's right. I've been waiting patiently since I've heard it was going to be dirt.
That's where everybody's at. They left early,
uh-huh.
So that everybody's in Bristol.
Well, actually, there's Bristol Dirt Nationals going on right
no,
now with
no
modifieds.
Way.
We were just watching some video of it.
Oh, no way. Did you see Chet around there anywhere?
Oh, no.
Chet's not hanging out.
No.
I bet you he is somewhere.
I don't remember where he's at.
Oh,
you know, because I follow
yeah.
that Flow Racing
yeah. mm-hmm.
on Facebook, and I don't remember.
He's somewhere. We'll find out later. We'll find out at the end of the year.
That's right.
He's somewhere.
We'll find out where he's at.
Oh, well. Yeah, you know, Bristol in the dirt is going to be interesting. It's always interesting when they do something like that. I missed Orange Show when they did that. You got to see Orange Show.
Hey, watch that.
I feel so
watch
bad.
That.
I'm mad that I missed that.
Yeah.
I'm mad that I missed that.
Yep.
I don't even remember why I missed
and
it.
And just shortly after I was there, they took all the dirt off and made it pavement again.
How was that? I mean,
it
interesting.
Was good. Yeah,
you know,
it was,
so
yeah.
You can imagine what Bristol's going to be
like.
Oh,
yeah. I've been watching how they've been putting the dirt on for the last month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Layer by layer.
Yeah, huh? They show it on
cool. I didn't know that.
On Bristol on Facebook. So.
That's sweet.
I've been kind of looking at that and watching it.
Are they bulldozing it in or bringing it by helicopter? What are they doing?
No, they're bringing it in by big tractors.
Truck and tractor. Dang.
But yeah, we were looking it up. There's a couple Nevada people representing. Corey Sample from Winnemucca.
Sweet.
Running the modifieds. Lisa Taylor's from Spring Creek. Wade Taylor from Spring Creek.
Ask me where Spring Creek, Nevada is.
Jonathan Mawinney.
We just recently had him on.
Cool.
And then
did you say that was a secret? Don't talk about it.
Colin,
no, I'm just kidding.
Colin Hibden from Pahrump.
Cool. Maybe you know that person. Huh?
So that's the six drivers from Nevada that are out at Dirt Nationals. Run the modified.
Is that a IMCA sanctioned event or?
No, I that part I don't know.
It does not say.
Just curious. I mean, you think we would know, but I barely made it.
I know it's the Bristol Nationals. I can tell you that.
Right. I barely made it here myself. So, what is the Bristol Nationals?
Modifieds. What else is running with them?
Right,
he got it set over there.
They run super lates.
Super lates. These are dirt. What's a dirt super late?
Like a super late model, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
602 late model.
Never heard of a dirt super late, but that. What do I know?
604.
I thought they were super stocks, but.
Open modifieds. Regular modifieds.
See, I just got too many damn. What?
Used to be able
to, when you said modified and you said it was an IMCA modified or something, you knew what it was. Now you got the 602, the 604, the. Sport mods, which I thought was a 602, but apparently not.
No.
So
Hornets,
Deanna says it's an IMCA.
It is. Okay.
Says Brian Kaiser.
Well, that would make sense. I was just curious, you know, if it was an IMCA event, you know, and a lot of these guys, you know, race locally in the IMCA points system. I don't know how that falls in with the Nationals, but, you know, obviously it works nationwide. So, cool. Well, thank you for the info. That's not, you know, that's the problem. Like with you know, I mean, this was nice about IMCA back in the day. I'm sure it's still better today than it was, but an IMCA modified was exactly what it was. You knew what it was. It was a modified and that's it. But I guess, you know, when you start incorporating like the different technologies that are out today, you have to adjust. I mean, we've seen when we went to PRI, that the technology changes and the product changes within the racing world. It's just amazing. I can't even believe some of the stuff we've seen in just the local racing scene, you know? So it's really cool to
see
that.
Some of those modifieds I thought were for the show, but
they were actual
they were actual
raceable dirt racing too.
Yeah.
the sport mods, the feature is 30 laps, 5,000 to win. 602s are 30 laps, 5,000 to win. Dirt modified is 30 laps, 7,500 to win. Super late models, 50 laps, 10,000 to win.
So what's the difference between a 602 and a sport mod then? Since I thought the sport mod used to be just the regular mod with a 602 in it, or a 604, one or the other, but I don't know. Sorry about that. I just don't know.
Ooh,
but
the super late model feature, 50 laps, 50,000 to win.
Mm. If you knew what a super late model was, you can go race that.
IMCA super late model.
What? I don't even know what that is.
I don't know.
Wasn't it used to be like just late models in the dirt? So then you have the late model, you know, I guess they call them super lates now. I don't know. What do I know? Used to be the late models back east, you know, that was the top level of dirt racing. And then you had the IMCA modified, which was, you know, the most common and all similar. But now I'm confused.
Now,
I was confused before.
Tonight your research is to see what a super late model dirt car is.
Yeah, that's what your guys are. Let me know, because I barely can make it here today. I was a victim.
Uh-oh.
Victim of Las Vegas traffic.
Tell me about it.
Right?
Open 50% and it's like everybody's out.
I have a sneaky feeling it's more than 50%.
No, not according to your governor. It's 50%.
Oh, there's 50% in all the businesses, but the rest of the 50% are just driving around.
Here's what I want to know. When somebody walks in your business, you know, let's say they walk in, I don't know, Caesar's Palace, and they see all these people, it's like, okay, who did the head count to see if there's 50% of your occupancy in here? I want to see the numbers.
Got them, trust me.
Well, what's to say they say, well, oh, sorry, we didn't count properly.
You're five over, you better.
We didn't count properly. We got, I don't know how many thousands of people they allow in. I don't know. Anyways.
Yes.
Any business.
Hey, we're moving forward. That's all we can say.
Yeah. Yeah, I got other things to say about that. But okay, we won't go there. We'll stop. Oh, man.
So how about you? You've been busy? Or this is that time?
I haven't stopped. You know, we usually slow down this time of season anyways.
Do more maintenance type stuff?
Yeah. But, you know, we always seem to, every time I wait for, cause I actually do wait for us to slow down so I can get my other crap done that I haven't
right.
been able to get done all year. And
it's
always, yeah, something piled on top of more stuff. So it's not my fault.
Hey.
I don't do this myself.
Hey, once they add about four more hours to the day, we'll be all right.
Well, exactly. I mean, this is nice, right? You actually have some daylight, but I'm still sleepy because it's flipped the other side. You still wake up earlier. So, oh, well.
Yeah, but the sun coming up at, you know, 5 o'clock, 4 or 5 in the morning wasn't fun either.
No. You know, and I just heard too that there is a couple that, you know, the senators, you know, are presenting a bill to do the same thing as Arizona and Hawaii, where they don't, you know,
change
it, but they need 5 votes or something for it to pass. So, and
no, I can see staying on this time.
Yeah.
This
so what right. do they got? 4.5 votes?
Two. They got two right now. The two that's presenting. So we'll see. You never know. I mean, yeah, and somebody, you know, there's a couple points to that too. You know, one side is, you know, you start letting this state do this state do that, and, you know, all the states are all different, and you go from state to state. You don't even know what time it is anymore.
Yeah.
But at the same time, just, you know, leave it alone. The time,
come on,
the
it's time. Always fun time traveling to Utah. Because you go from Nevada through that
Arizona.
13 miles.
It's fun getting younger, but no fun getting older when you go the other way.
Well, you got that was it, 17-mile box twice? So it's like you go forward, then you go back, then you go forward
right.
again.
Yeah, I've flown overseas. I've lost a whole day before, so I know what that's like. Oh, well. Anyway, so we'll see. Hopefully. I mean, I like the daylight. I know you do.
Oh,
you
yeah.
It's funny because it's really no different whether it's 8 o'clock and it's dark out or 8 o'clock and it's light out. It's still 8 o'clock, but you get more done.
You get more done those 2 hours.
It's still daylight. What are you talking about? I still got plenty of work to do.
But you can actually go outside and do it and not freeze your ass off.
You got flashlights. We got jackets.
That's
right. We got this technology nowadays. Long sleeve, short sleeve.
Not me.
I'd spend
more time trying to make the garage warm enough for me to work before I'd actually work.
But just pull your car in and close the door and turn the engine on. You warm up and get a night's rest.
Permanent night's rest.
Oh man. Just make sure your life insurance is up. I don't suggest anybody does that at home, please.
We do not promote that stuff on this show. This is a family-oriented show.
Yeah. You know, speaking of the show, we were going to have Donna Gunther on tonight, but she couldn't make it. So maybe another show. I don't know when, but maybe Donna Gunther will be in. The last time we did have her in the show before, believe it or not, but not at this studio. This is way back. Were you?
Yep.
You were there, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I didn't remember if that was prior to Gary.
Nope.
PG or if it was R.
Nope. Was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And it came up on my Facebook about a week ago.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Something like
10 days ago, something like that.
What would you do without Facebook? Your memory would
be
totally lost.
Oh, I'd do a lot without Facebook.
Yeah, I saw this thing. I know this is a racing show, but speaking of Facebook, they're talking about how Facebook, outside of, even when you have your app off, they track all the, you know, basically everything. Not just Google. Now, we already know Google does that, but Facebook also has something that they track that basically can tell you a lot more about you than you even know.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I get a kick out of when we're talking about something. I go home at night, get on Facebook, and exactly what we were talking about pops up.
Right.
I'm like, hey.
Yeah, exactly. So watch out.
Yep.
And you're even if you had your phone off, your Facebook off, everything, you talked about it. I don't know how, but somehow.
Technology.
Your phone has to be off.
Yeah.
If it's in any type of standby, if you have Siri or
anything.
Hey Google or whatever, it's constantly monitoring.
Yeah. And, you know, and people say, well, yeah, like they want to know anything about me. Well, it is about you because your information is constantly sold. Anything about you is being distributed and sold in one way or another. Demographics. But anyway, all right, we'll move on. We'll move on to other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about Cindy. She bought in all this stuff. Hair clear. So if you have hearing problems.
What?
Or you suspect you're going to have hearing problems.
Anytime soon.
Anytime soon. Call Hair Clear. You can look it up online, I'm sure. I forget what the website is. But
I have it right here.
Oh.
Look it.
I can't see it, so you're going to have to see it. I need the eye clear.
Hearclearforless.com.
Okay. Check it out there.
I think
that's
what that's.
Or you can call 725-333-4327. That's area code 725-333-HEAR. Also, racing earbuds. You can get custom fitted ones. She'll come out and actually fit a mold to your ear and make it to your mold. So it will fit 100% exactly fit
very, very, very
ears.
Comfortably.
And she color codes them.
Yep.
And you get to pick some assortment of colors, whatever she has available. But try them out.
She's got a location in Boulder City, so the ones in Boulder City has no excuse.
No, they can say, well, I'm all the way out in Boulder.
Uh-huh,
I don't want to go
out
into
Boulder.
Town.
I don't want to go to Henderson.
Or even Arizona.
So
you have to come all the way into town.
That's right.
Does she? If you go on the website, does she take orders and then make travel to you?
I've never been on the website.
Oh, man.
I'm reading it.
Well, tell us what you see there when you go to
okay.
this website that I can't see because I need iClear. Yes. Not here.
Or to see clear.
I don't know for sure.
Oh, no, you need here clear, too.
I need both. I need everything clear.
I don't know for sure, but I know she has her mobile kit that she, because she's done here
always,
a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's her, like, hey, oh, I got it. Flip it out.
Uh-huh.
Stick this crap in your ears, right. Bump, and you're good to go.
So I think if you did make an appointment with her at an outside racetrack or an outside location, if she was there, I'm sure she would bring her kit with her and take care of you.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, some guys have those semi, they call them a semi-custom. That's not, there's nothing custom about it. It's just a semi piece of rubber in your area.
Everybody has the same one of those semi-custom.
I use the little twist foam ones that always get pulled out. And, you know,
when you
every
put
time
helmet
you put
on.
Your helmet
yeah.
on.
Yep. And then you're like, oh. And you're like fighting to try to push half your helmet up.
Hey, talk on that radio so I can see if I can hear you.
There's times where it's done. You're already, you can't do nothing. You got one halfway hanging on. The other one's completely out. You're like, oh, I guess I'm winging it.
Or you move your arm and it catches the wire and it pulls it the rest of the way out during the race. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, but the ones that she makes you, well they don't come out.
The wire will probably break before you pull those out of your ears.
Right.
So
check it out. Especially with your helmet on.
That's right. And you should have your helmet off if you're racing.
That's right.
But check it out. You know, I would assume you can't get a better product than what she makes for you. So
very, very comfortable.
And you have more than one.
Oh,
here.
Yeah, I have. And once she does your impressions of your ear, then
she has it.
Right. If you want to order another set or
now, wait a minute. If you're a young driver on the show and you're 12 and then about when you're 16 and you want a set, you probably want to go ahead and get fitted again.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, racers, you got to think racers today are 4 years old.
That's right.
But yeah, you're right. You know, once she has your impression, it's good for a long time.
Yeah.
So, but check with her to see what that appropriate time is, whether it's a year, 6 months, a month, it might be depending on your age, whatever it is. But yeah, she has it. She can make you a pair on the fly, basically.
Yes.
So. Cool. So,
uh-oh.
You did some racing. You were at some racing this past weekend, right?
Yes, I was.
Tell me how was that?
The infamous
speed. We're allowed to call it Speed Vegas now.
Yep.
So, Legends
and Bandoleros.
And Bandoleros. Yep. So we got some young kids there racing on up to.
Yep. This was the last weekend of five. This is the last weekend of that series.
Okay.
So now we're moving on to spring series, I think.
So you're doing four seasons, huh?
I guess. I don't know.
Cool. You know, and what's interesting, if you haven't been to Speed Vegas, go check it out. The track really isn't made for racing. It's made for an experience, a driving experience. So it's cool that they allow racing on there, but we all know with racing it's competition, and with competition there's things that happen.
Yep.
Things break, whether it's engines, parts fall off, you get into each other, things like that. But they have restrictions. They don't want you veering off the track.
No,
right?
They have their little cones pretty close to the track.
Do the cones keep you from going off the track?
Well,
just visually.
After you hit them, you know you've hit them.
And what is their role? Like, let's say you hit that. Are there penalties for that?
Yes. Actually, it started out to be a drive-through penalty.
Okay.
A start and stop. But in all of that, they have figured out that if you get a penalty, your day's pretty much over, because by time you go through the
you shouldn't hit any cones.
No. Well, exactly. But, you know, sometimes, there was one, they went to if you hit a cone, then if you give up a position, then you can still race. And a lot of drivers were doing that. If they hit the cone, then there are some cars that got shoved into the cones. And you know, racing's racing. So, you know, some get shoved in and some, you know, there's a couple
so who
cars.
Determines?
you just kind of police yourself.
Right.
So unless you want to stop and go penalty, you'll do it again.
So you feel like, let's say you hit the cone, you just give yourself up one position, let the car behind you go. Whether
basically.
It's a lap car or not, doesn't matter.
Basically,
just,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, I didn't see very many lap cars on that track unless somebody spun out and and then, you know, the leaders were coming when they spun out. But there wasn't many lap cars on that track because it's so long. I think it's a mile and a half.
Okay.
So, and
so do you think that
it's got 12 turns.
Is that penalty, you think, working better than an actual stop-and-go
yes.
penalty?
Yeah, because if you get a stop-and-go penalty, by the time you get through pit lane and stop and...
But if you're knocking rocks and stuff on the track, and that's a big deal because you're doing sessions in between when they make their money.
They do clean up, you know, if it's bad enough. And the corner workers had brooms that would help them.
Did they know they were going to be... Sweepers,
corner worker sweepers. But,
I'm just joking.
They provided brooms, you know, and like Tia Guy and her brother brought their own broom to sit in the corner. So if too many rocks, and there's very little downtime, very, very little downtime. But, you know, if one guy's on one end of the track sweep and then them guys, if they had a number of rocks, they can sweep them off and kind of help their
track. And they
can
actually
guys.
Do it without a caution at all by the time.
They don't want you on the track. If there's cars on the track, they don't want you.
Well, I mean, like, let's say that everybody went and last car hit the cone and kept going. Would they call a caution anyways?
Okay. If the cone is in the middle of the track or on the track.
Knocked off the track.
No. If it's in the dirt,
there's a bunch of rocks on there.
No, they would
just get up and sweep it real quick.
The guy up there with Danny Fitzgerald wanted to call a caution every time a car got two wheels off the track. But, you know, hey.
Well, you know, obviously.
If you wore your mask, it would be fine. If you follow the rules, then.
Well,
you
that's
the
why
penalty.
I was wondering if, you know, was this the. Does it seem like. And I'm not picking on anybody or anything. I'm just wondering about penalties. You know, how well, you know, do you change a rule or penalty? You know, obviously it should fit the I'll call it a crime. It's not a crime, but it fits the
crime,
you know, whatever it is. So did it, when it was a stop and go penalty, was there less cone hitting?
Yes.
So allowing
it works sometimes.
So allowing it, people know I'm just going to lose one position. I'll get that position back.
But with that stop and go penalty, your day's pretty much done.
But everybody knows that, so they better try their hardest not to. Just like if you hit the wall,
you're racing.
If you hit the wall, which they don't have walls,
you're racing.
Listen, so if you hit the wall, you know your day's over. So guess what you do? You don't hit the wall.
And they do have walls.
Do they? Okay.
That's how that works?
Down the front stretch.
You don't hit the wall.
So if there's rocks and you know you're going to get stop and go penalty, it's going to take you out, you just don't, you know, obviously if you get pushed off into the, different.
Well, sometimes some of those guys didn't even try to make the corner. They just drove straight through the corner.
And all they have to do is lose one position.
Well, yeah, but there's some tough competition out there that you could lose more than
how about that. Instead of a stop and go, they go to the back of the pack? Is that automatically you're done?
You don't want to do that during the race. You don't want to say, you know, car 27, you got to go to the back of the field during the race.
You're in caution, you said, if most likely.
No, if they hit the cone and they give up a position, the race is continuing. Oh. They only throw the caution if there's the cone in the
track. Or there's rocks on the track.
That's sticky with the race director. That's, you know, some, you know, just like for an example, there was a cone on the track, but it was next to the dirt, but it was on the track. 13 cars went by and didn't hit it.
Right.
Excuse me. And they wanted a yellow to move that cone.
Okay.
Not our race director, their guy.
But
and 13 cars went by that.
Yeah, but that's what the rule is. because there's a cone on the track.
Well,
what if there's a baby on the track and nobody hit it? You still leave it. Hey, the baby can still stay on the track because nobody hit it the first time.
No, that's up to the race director if they want to hit the baby or the cone.
Well, I just say that a rule's a rule.
Right, but the cone was not affecting the race.
It was on the track.
It's not affecting the race. It's not like it was in the middle of turn five.
What if one guy got pushed out to that section and hit the cone?
Hey,
would he have to lose a position?
You know,
if the cone was in the wrong place and he hit it, would he have to give up a position?
What if
hold on. You guys are going way too far to the right here. Hold on.
To the left.
No.
We're going to the left.
No, it's left and right.
Yeah.
So right. We're chicaning.
The cone was not – it was on the track, yes. But do you realize that race, or I'm sorry, when they yellow flagged that race, it cost almost 5 minutes by the time the race got going again.
Okay.
And that comes off our time.
Why did it take 5 minutes?
By the time they cleaned the cone up, by the time they did
that's
this.
That's why you don't have cones on the track.
That's why our race director said it is okay to leave cone.
I'm just asking, you know. Right. And, of course, I don't know. You have to draw a map of the track, say, well, the cone was right here I'd be like, oh, yeah,
well,
I see.
And it was our race director
what if there was a car broke down in that same spot as the cone?
No,
would you let the race go?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You would?
No, I'm sorry. If the car was broke down, no, we
Why?
Would call
if, what
it.
What if 13 cars didn't hit it? Because actually there'd be 12 cars that didn't hit it at that point. Would it be okay?
And that's just like up in turn five, there was one of those rubber bottom of the big round cone. That was in the middle of turn five, and that was affecting the race. So they threw a yellow for them. And then they had to get it all set back up. And
well, what if everybody went around?
Not every time, but a lot of times when something like that would happen, we would go red on the backstretch, if you want to call it the backstretch. Mm-hmm. And then they knew and were told over the race receiver that as soon as they come to the start-finish line, they're going green again.
Oh, okay.
And they
so a red's not a red.
It's not a stop in place.
Well, not for something like that, no.
Right.
But there was accidents on the track, and yes, when the track went red, you stopped where you were. You know, for them to clean up a cone was they went red on the backstretch instead of letting them go around because, you know, it's a minute and a half going around that whole track, 2 minutes.
And you know, obviously time is an issue because you have so much time to run a full race, let alone if you have cautions or more than one caution, I would imagine.
Like, for an example, it's 10 laps or 20 minutes, whichever comes first. So that starts coming off the time if you're sitting on the backstretch waiting to clean up a cone that 13 cars passed and never even moved it.
Right.
You know, so... That and when you're racing, as you know, everybody out there that races knows laps are time, and then you start getting time. You know, everybody wants their laps. Everybody wants to race. So, yeah.
Unless you want to shorten the time, you just go hit a cone, lose one position, and you most likely you gain it.
Well, I'm not giving up the position because the cone was on the track.
There you go. You don't have to because it is on the track.
That one position came later. I think we just started using that in the fourth and fifth weekends.
Well,
so
if you were to put it out to everybody that when there's a stop and go, it happened less, so you had more time, right? Because you didn't have to do, like if somebody lost their position, let's say you knocked a cone, because you got more people knocking the cone now because of a lower level penalty, so it happens more often. So the likelihood of a cone getting knocked on the track or rocks on the track go up.
It was actually when you gave up a position, the cones were being hit, but not as much when you gave up a position. But as I said, they got rid of the stop and go penalty because, and they're 100% right. If you got a stop and go penalty, let's just say you were in third, man, your day was over. You might as well go in the pits because it's, you know, you'll never catch up.
But that's how it used to be at the bull ring when they had stop and go penalties. They've had them for like the bombers.
Yeah.
Stop and go. I mean.
Yeah, but that's not a mile and a half to try to make up.
Yeah, but you still, they're out. If they got a stop and go penalty, they're.
Well,
no,
a few cars, yes.
Most of them would not be able to catch up at all.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But like I said, they were the fourth and fifth weekend, they were kind of policing themselves. Mm-hmm. And you know, it did clean up a lot of hitting the cones and going off the track,
right,
and stuff. But, you know, if you spin out one of those corners, yeah, you're going into the field,
right,
you know, in the middle of the track, on the side of the, you know, and it's all dirt. So.
And I would imagine, like, the more the legends and the bandos, the drivers, are, the more they race on that track, the better they become familiar,
yeah,
with it, so that it happens,
yeah,
less anyway.
And less and less, yeah.
So. I don't know, I'm just wondering, you know.
But as you know, that's not set up as a race track.
Right.
You know, you go rent this $1,000 Lamborghini and,
right,
take it around the track. You don't.
Well, that's what I mean is, like, so those strict penalties are there for a reason. So you are able to, yeah, you might, let's say you are third and you lose, you know you're never going to catch back up. But guess what? They're allowing you to race again another day.
Yeah.
But if you keep going with a lesser penalty and the chances of rocks and things getting on the track and the time gets, you know, tightened up, you know, it's going to cause people to think that, you know, hey, this kind of incident happens way too much. You're going to lose time, and then we're not going to be able to let people race or run around in the $300,000,
yeah,
Lamborghini.
And that's,
that could be a problem. So, I don't know. Sometimes the stricter penalties are there for a reason, I guess. But I understand that the need for change, too. But you know, we don't have to worry about penalties at the boring right now because we don't race.
Havasu.
But what penalties do you remember that you didn't like about, let's say, the bull ring or even Havasu or any track we race at? Is there any of them that stick out to you that this is a stupid penalty? Or maybe they shouldn't
No,
make
I was
up
always
a
good racer. I never got penalties.
Or should there be a penalty added for certain actions on the track?
For me, nothing sticks out. I don't.
You know, like a bump and go, you know, situation where, let's say, you're going in the corners, you slow down, you do your thing, but somebody comes in hot and just
rails you,
you know, should there be a stiff penalty for something like that, or is that an accident or a racing incident, or is that just, do they have the proper penalties in place? It's the call of the director, usually.
Yeah, it's usually,
like that.
Yeah, the call
they
of
can,
the director.
You know, they can watch and see.
Because
a lot of times they just put them to the back, right? But there used to be a rule where if there's an incident happening,
they
both would go to the back.
Yeah.
So is that a better rule? You know, it sucks for the guy that did nothing wrong, but that's supposed to be to set an example so nobody else does it, right?
Right, right. Well, yeah, but like you say, it sucks for the innocent guy.
Right.
But they used to have that rule in NASCAR, I thought, too, like the aggression rule. Like, if
is
you're
that,
watching and it's, you know, if you do something so many times to the same car,
right,
then it's like an aggression rule and they would put you to the back.
Just
the
one car, though, not.
Right.
I mean, and that's a good rule because if somebody's out there being real aggressive, and there are some drivers that just are aggressive drivers, but there's a limit to that, what that driver should be allowed to do.
Yeah, going into the corner and making them loose, you know, kind of pushing them a little bit is one thing, but yeah, railing them into the wall is, you know, another story.
Right.
I know a couple of drivers would take their mom out to win a race.
Right. That's true. But were they aggressive or were they just, you know,
no, they wanted to win the race. So mom didn't win it. They would take their mother out if they had a chance.
You know, so the aggressiveness, you know, some drivers, you know, and we all kind of know, looking at the track, who's usually more aggressive than others and stuff like that. But do you, because you know how that person drives, do they allow them to get away with more because of that? Because what if Matt went out there and did the same thing, let's say another aggressive driver did, he would probably get penalized before the other guy because, oh, that's just how the other guy drives, but Matt usually never does this, yeah. Right? Is that fair? I mean, is that a, should be a penalty?
Well, I think it's racing. Like I said, it's probably up to the race director because it's the safety of the race. Like, yeah, you want to complete the race, but you also want to keep some sort of safety going. So if it starts getting out of control, then I think, yeah, you know, a penalty or a, you know, a black flag or something might be appropriate depending on
right.
what they're actually doing.
But is that because of let's say they did it week to race to race, or just you're talking about that night of racing? You know, should,
I think you can see patterns with certain
yeah.
drivers.
You know, and I think so too, and I think that sometimes the people that call the race might allow more for, you know, somebody that's usually more aggressive just because they know this guy, he always goes in, he's always pushing the guy in front of him right there in that same spot in the middle of the corner every time, and then he, you know, does this or that. But that doesn't mean it's okay, does it?
No.
But the problem is when you let him get away with it once or twice, then guess what? You got to let him get away with it all the time. Otherwise, it's like,
but then they're also looking at entertainment value.
Right.
If the stands are jumping up and down and cheering and watching two drivers bump and
grind.
Let's
just say we're in today's world where you don't have fans jumping up and down or anything. You're just out there racing to be competitive because if you don't have people in the stands, that's a different story. Right?
Yes and no, I guess. But yeah, I don't see purposefully pushing somebody into, you know, there's racing pushing where you just make someone kind of loose, and then there's just flat out just
being an ass.
Yeah.
I've always said you can tell the difference on purpose and accident.
Right.
But
that's tough because during an actual race, even in practices and stuff like that, we all have our adrenaline running, you know, we're out there, you know, in a different level than when we're just standing talking about stuff. So sometimes, you know, we're always right. The other person's always wrong, right? So, you know.
And
we
the race director's always wrong.
That's right. We always see things different, you know, because it's like, nah, you know, he should have known because he's been racing for 10 years or whatever it is or 20, whatever it is. And he should have known, you know, blah, 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 or whatever the situation is, you know. But I don't know.
But yet you're standing in the stands watching the race against someone who's doing 80-something miles an hour in the race.
Right.
And you're making the decision 2 minutes, you know, 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, and that's tough. You know,
you have to commit on some stuff. You made a decision. You need to commit and
right.
see where it goes.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, that brings up like where Danny, he's calling the shots, right, on things like that. But he's also has a representative, and if you don't mind me talking about this, I don't know if it's, allowed to talk about this, but he has a representative of the track side by side with him, keep an eye on to make sure the track
stays
clear and does not get damaged in any way because they do, I mean, racing's fun and all that, but their business is –
renting those $300,000 cars.
Exactly. So I obviously primarily the focus is to keep the track clean, clear, safe, and rentable. But I don't know. So it's cool that they allow that, but so they're going to do more racing.
Yeah, they're working on some more dates.
Cool. I know they have karting. The karting club goes out there. They do had a one or two races out there.
Yeah.
They'd love that karting.
Cindy has asked a few of us if we wanted to work the corners
for
that
cart. Okay.
You know, and every time I work, so
right.
I every time they've been out there, I haven't got to go
right.
out there.
And you know, and if you do get a chance, they're great people. Like the guys that run that, they're really nice people. You know, so if you're looking to get into racing and maybe Legends and Bandos aren't for you, but karting really isn't that much more inexpensive, but it is a different avenue. You know, go see the guys that, you know, out the track when they're racing out there and just go up and talk to them. They'll talk to you and tell you what you need to do to get into that. Or you can just go to pole position and, you know, go have some fun and you'll meet some people out there. And you know, it's like we had in the other show, what he did was go race at pole position, you know, and met the right people and got into racing that way.
I don't remember his name right off the top of my head, but
That's the way to go. So, speaking of shows and stuff, I missed Aaron McMorrin and Michael Miller. How was that?
Oh,
I didn't get a chance to pipe in. How was Aaron? I haven't seen Aaron in forever.
Yeah. It was a show of secrets.
Yes.
We got stuff cool. We can't talk about it. No. But there's something good on the horizon.
Well, we can't talk about it.
Still dawn, yeah.
McMorrin's been taking his kid playing basketball to different states.
Really? Yeah. Oh, cool. I bet that kid's growing up really good. He's probably not kidding. He's probably like 8 foot tall now, right?
Yeah.
Playing basketball.
I think McMorrin said he was 12.
Wow, already?
Yeah.
I remember when he just had the baby. I was
Kevin,
like, oh, man,
his racing career
is over. Yeah. No. Cool. Dang. Kids grow up fast.
Yep.
So he raced at Havasu previous?
Yeah.
The pro late models?
Yes.
Because he has a new pro late model or new to him. I don't know if it's new or not.
Oh, yep. The kid is 12.
Wow, cool. How did Aaron do, and did he not do well, and why?
He didn't say why he didn't do well because they got to work the bugs out of the car.
It's new.
Yeah.
So.
Wait a minute. You don't listen to the show?
No, I don't. You know, here's what I did. I never do. Here's what I never do. I don't listen to our show, let alone anybody else's show. So. No, I don't. I really listen to that guy.
What's his name?
I don't know. And
yes, you do. The guy in my phone.
Oh, I don't know. That guy? Okay. Whoever that guy is, I don't listen to.
You know what? The last race, Kevin's right. Got a right flat tire.
Okay.
Right.
Which sucks because nothing you can do about it.
Yep. And I think he said, now that Kevin brings that up, he said he made it to lap 75.
No way.
The right front.
They had 100 lapper, I'm
guessing.
Yeah, 100
lapper, yeah.
Well, did he mention, was he mid-pack, front-pack?
No.
You didn't listen on the show either.
No, I didn't listen on the show.
You're right. Oh, man.
Kevin can tell us how many laps he went.
Well, we'll have to. It's been a while since Aaron's been in.
Yeah, it's been a few years,
I
think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like one of those.
Because he used to take his kid to practice every
Tuesday
night.
Right. Right.
So
when he, and same thing last time, he had his wooden puppet with him when he came in, Michael Miller.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. It's Michael's fault, regardless.
Kevin says he was running around 12.
I'm sorry.
Fourth. Yeah. He was running around fourth.
Wow. That's even better.
The
kid's
12. I'm kind of.
You're reading a little both.
Yeah.
Well, thanks,
he was
Kevin.
Running around fourth.
Sweet. Well, that was probably a good race then.
Yeah.
Especially on that little track.
I'm glad Kevin was listening. He don't listen to a whole lot, trust me, but he was listening to that show.
Does he sweep corners?
Hell no.
Uh-oh, Kevin.
The only thing I see Kevin with this past weekend is cookies.
Food. Girl Scout cookies or what?
And he's training his son quite well because every time I seen him, he had cookies. Nah, he got a good kid.
It's funny because from a distance, me and you were saying, remember this kid was like just staring down into a garbage can. Kevin's like,
what in the hell are you
doing? He's just staring down in this garbage can, right? And then he's just looking for forever. And then this kid finally comes over. He's like, well, what are you doing? He's like, oh, there's a bunch of bees in there. So he's watching the bees inside
the
garbage
can. Yeah.
So I guess that's pretty entertaining. Because, hey, people buy ant farms and watch little ants. So why not watch bees?
Oh, Kevin said, yes, I have swept corners before.
Oh, before. Not last. Okay.
Yeah.
Gary wants to see you sweep corners. But.
Oh, hey.
Uh-oh.
Excuse me, but the wonderful Cindy Clark is on, and she said Kevin Terrell's son scored some girl's phone number.
Oh.
Well, hell,
oh. Are we allowed
to work and score phone numbers.
But is she a racer? Does she
race? I don't know that. I don't know.
We want to dig deeper.
But, but I can tell you, if she does race, she's a better racer than Kevin. Because Kevin's car's in the garage.
That's right. She's one step better.
Oh, no, he's working on it. He's been ordering Jolly Ranchers for it.
Oh, yes.
And getting car parts with the Jolly Ranchers, I think.
Yeah.
I don't get that. Okay.
Oh, Kevin says, yes, she does.
Oh.
Sweet.
That's one way to get it, to stay in racing is through the marriage relationship of your kids.
Yeah. Well, she's got to drive a Legend because there was only two young kids, young boys racing the Legend.
All right, so let's try to figure this out. So who are other girl drivers? Now, I guess it doesn't have to be a girl either. Yeah, I'm just saying we don't judge here. So
We a race show, not a judge.
Oh, well, I there's a lot, you know what, and it's crazy that in today's world, not only the age of the drivers, but it's good to see a lot more young, you know, girls driving, young women out in the racing. And let me tell you, they do some crap I don't even think any of us could do half the time, you know, when they're out on that track.
There was a few girls out there racing, and the few minutes I got to stand and talk with Kevin Terrell, he was telling me some of those kids were racing and, I mean, all the stuff they were doing. I'm like, I thought they just come race these. There's some kids racing late models in the dirt. And, I mean, all kinds of stuff.
We got to imagine what they're doing. Like you said, they're here racing this one race, but they're doing, like, whether it's a dirt racing, junior late model racing, or asphalt racing. But they're also doing other PR work. They're meeting with, you know,
and these are young
sponsors,
kids, 15, 16, 17-year-old young ladies. I do know there was one from Florida that her and her brother flew in and raced the weekend to Florida.
Crazy. We got no excuses when we sorry, I couldn't make it like 20 minutes away, Kevin Terrell.
Plus, it's nice having some role models like Haley Deegan, you know, for the girls to look up to, that, you know, someone who got in the dirt, started young, and, like, drove anything she could drive, and now she's made it up to
level. And, you know, locally, you know, for a long time, you know, we talked about Donna Gunther. She was, like, one of the only female racers back in the day that I remember. They used to call her the Secretary of Speed, I think, because at the time she worked for CCSN, you know, as a secretary. I don't remember what the story exactly was. I'd have to go back 8 years and look at the archives and listen to that show, which I don't do. So, but it's cool, you know, to see examples like that lead to, and who knows, you know, during that gap, you know, what other young girls that got into racing because of her, you know, just because at that time, I'm talking 90s, you know, when she was out there racing.
Yeah.
And probably before that, but just during my era when I was out there, you know, and I first heard of Donna Gunther and seen her racing out there, she was probably one of the only women. I don't remember any other ones, to be honest with you. There may have been, but It's cool. So hopefully we get her in the show here pretty quick. But, you know, and then short time later, of course, Kaylee Barker, you know, here locally, one of the first, what was her first out here at LVMS? First girl, woman to win a race, right?
Yeah.
At
NASCAR sanction.
A NASCAR sanction race at LVMS at the Bullring.
Yeah.
You know, and Kaylee Barker is another one that some of these young girls, you know, look up to. And it's funny to say that because she's still young herself, you know, but you got to think of the age of these kids getting into racing nowadays.
Yeah. When they're like, you know, 17 sitting in the chair over here and they're like, yeah, I've been racing for 12 years. And you're like,
right.
Really?
Exactly. Yeah. They got more race experience than us. And they're only 16. Yeah.
There was a kid out there and I call him a kid because he's, you know, 1920. He's
a third of your age.
happens to be one of Kevin's good friends. He ran Daytona in the trucks.
Oh, yeah.
In the truck, what is it today, Camping World?
The Ganders, Camping World.
He ran the trucks, but yet he ran that whole series that they had out here in Legends.
Right.
Cool.
Cool.
No, that's Kevin, cool. That's one of Kevin's good friends. He knows a lot about that kid.
Well, you know, that's one of the fun things about Legends. You know, you have fun in Legends, but you always have time to go race a truck because the trucks are a lot more fun. I don't care if it's Camping World, late model truck series truck. If it's a truck, it's fun to drive. That's my opinion.
But if you watch NASCAR, they've been really promoting short track racing and a lot of the lower level racing. And they've been talking about it, all these NASCAR drivers and stuff, and talking about their history. And a lot of them came from Legends. A lot of them have
Legends. Well, if you think about it, that's pretty amazing because that's from, and I'm sure the dates are all wrong, but as far as I remember, it was about, I don't know, 97, 98-ish when the Legends started, or, you know, popping up, you know, when they started actually getting the Legends and this concept of this, you know, spec series, you know, third scale, I don't know what scale it is, but whatever downscaled racing car was to get the inexperienced drivers into something as a kind of a the next level, to get them from the stock car racing and the street stocks and the mini stocks and things like that into something, you know, and it worked. You know, I mean, it's, I don't know how many Legends there are across America and beyond today, but, you know, there's a ton of them. So, and there's a lot of, if you ask any of them now, when they would interview NASCAR drivers back then, they used to race sprint cars or like the mini sprints
or go-karts.
Now,
they've been talking about that for Bristol. They've been talking about all the drivers that have dirt experience.
Right.
And they're trying to gauge
Who's going to be hired?
Based on their dirt experience, are they going to remember how to drive dirt?
Right. Well, and you got to think too, the equipment they have is going to be top notch compared to what they used to race. Probably, I mean, and some of them probably had top notch equipment then, but nothing like the money that their teams can buy today. So it's going to be cool. I wish they would do that more often. You know, I like what they did with Orange Show. I wish I missed that. You think we'd
turn
a
pavement track into a dirt track? Yeah.
I'd like to do the opposite. Let's see if dirt track go pave it real quick. we'll tear it up later.
Pave the half mile and make the bull ring
always
dirt
been,
track.
Yep, that's always been my thought, was turn it around, put some stands all around that half mile track, make it a asphalt track, and you can have some bigger, like A&N type events and things like that. So I can't believe we're out of time. Damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see who's in store for us next week. It's a surprise.
Yep.
And who's not in store.
So, anyway,
I would just want to say thanks to Cindy for all her help that she does for us.
Absolutely.
For this
Thank
show.
You, Cindy Clark. Definitely go see her at Care Clear. And just tell her thank you for being involved.
Yeah.
I appreciate what she does for us here at the show and beyond. So
yes.
She don't even know how much.
She has no clue how much she helps us. But she does, and thanks to her.
And Kevin, make sure you come to the show. We want you to come in here and sit in with us.
Yeah.
Have some fun. Anyway, so we'll see you live next Tuesday at 6 p.m. at onwheelsnow.com. And appreciate it. We'll see you then.
See ya. Thanks for listening.